Well, good morning, Life Journey Church.
Morning. Morning.
So great to see you all out here today on this Sunday after Thanksgiving. Did you have a good time over the holidays?
Yeah.
I did too. I ended up going to visit my aunt and my uncle and cousins and host of other family in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My mom and my kids, we went on a road trip. It was an eventful time. It didn't feel like a vacation so much, but it was a great time. And I'm glad to be here with you all this week to share this special moment. Well, you've heard the scripture read, and the theme today we want to focus our hearts and minds on is this process that we engage in when it comes to manifesting our divine potential. The idea that we all have something special within us, a divine something within, that it's our job on earth to work our soul's work so that we might produce what God has placed in us in the realm of earth. That's part of our purpose here. And so today we want to wrap our minds around that. And so today, I want you to understand that God has placed something powerful in you, and we're here to exercise it and to work it out. One of the most powerful things in the world is an idea. An idea incubated along certain lines has produced the great marvels and also the great wonders of our world, as well as the great tragedies. An idea, the power of an idea that gains a stronghold in our hearts and minds, whether for good or for bad, has the ability to produce at exponential proportions. Former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt had a saying that was attributed to her that's often used to dissuade people from gossip, but it goes something like this. Small minds discuss other people. Average minds discuss events. Great minds discuss ideas. You may have heard that before. But as we think about what it means for the context of our discussion, the fact that we are discussing one of the greatest ideas that Scripture has to suggest to us is astronomical in terms of the results that it can produce in our lives as we apply it to ourselves. Jesus says in our key verse, "This is the secret of the kingdom of God. To you has been given this secret of the kingdom. The sower sows the word." Now, kingdom in this context, theologians like to refer to this entity as the realm or the ruling realm of God, because kingdom sometimes denotes pictures of a man sitting on a throne, and God is much larger than that. So the realm of God or the ruling realm of God is what this is talking about. To us has been given the secret of this ruling realm of God. And it's interesting to note that Jesus interprets the text for us as it says, the sower sows the word. This ruling realm is adjacent, is parallel to our earth, time, space reality. It's the realm of God. It's the realm where our experiences and events proceed from the realm of spirit. And so this ruling realm of God would be pretty important to learn something about if we're going to live lives that are manifesting divine potential, that are living the good plan and purpose that God has placed within us. So does that sound like something you'd like to know for yourself? How may I engage this realm of God more fully so that I might manifest what God has placed within me?
Bring it on.
Yeah? How many of you know that there is something special in you? I mean, something beyond what your eyes can see, something beyond what your mind sometimes can even conceive. The fact that you are a spirit being and you proceed from God is the primordial essence of who you are. And so as we engage what it means to manifest our divine potential, we want to turn our eyes inward first. Okay? Now, this pericope in Mark 4 deals with the stages of progression when birthing an idea. All right? It's the process of manifestation. It's about birthing from your soul, being on the verge of birthing an idea, contributing something positive to the earth. It's about how to manifest an idea and navigate obstacles. Now, this Gospel of Mark was likely written around 63 AD, likely in Rome, was intended primarily for the Romans, as the people, the heralds of this gospel message, were seeking to spread the gospel to the world empire so that all people groups could benefit. What Mark would do is Mark would listen to the teaching and the preaching of Peter, and he would transcribe the messages and the stories that were recounted. Now, Mark 4 opens up with Jesus teaching beside the sea. The sea represents the movement of mind. It's about these waters of consciousness being in a state of receptivity. Now, that's pertinent for our discussion because our hearts and minds first have to take a state of receptivity in order to experience the benefit of what we hear. So many times our minds are necessarily critical, but when it comes to being in a state of receptivity for our advancement and our upliftment, the first requirement is an open heart, an open mind. So today we want to be in a state of receptivity. As we look at the parable here, we see that in the preceding chapters and all throughout this book, Jesus is producing miracles of restoration and transformation in people's lives by the multitudes. I mean, these crowds are pushing in upon him as he delivers miraculous touch after miraculous touch, setting people free from their fears, their worries, and ailments, and into liberty and joy and blessing. People are literally coming from miles around just to see what he will do and hear what he will say. And this is the message that he decides to share at this point of space and moment of time. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. The sower sows the word. The main thing to wrap your hearts and minds around today is that whatever you want to harvest in your experience of life, whatever you feel the divine nudge to bring forth into reality, sow the seed for it and remain faithful to sow as you pass through the various stages of development. In life, there's always stages, yes, that we go through. And this parable shows us that it's not always cotton candy as you go from one stage to the next. And when we can know that that's a part of the process, we're able to endure through the challenging times. I don't know about you, but some of you might have experienced some things this holiday season that gave you great joy, that gave you great peace, but that might have also disturbed you a little bit or unearthed some agitation in some way. And so these things are here to show us that it's a part of your forward progression. And sometimes we don't realize that that's a part of the process, but today we're learning that these things are in the process. Somebody say it's a part of the process. It's a part of the process. And so we see here what this text says in Mark 4, 11 through 13. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive. They may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they might turn again and be forgiven. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The key part here, looking at this for this moment, is they look but don't perceive. There are things about you and I that are embedded within us that we don't always perceive. We might see things that are right in front of our face and not even be able to detect it. Therefore, we don't get the full value out of it because we're not appraising its value correctly. There's a story told of a patrol officer who was at a border. And this patrol officer would always see this one truck coming through, and the officer had this itching feeling that this person was, you know, bringing in contraband and other kinds of things, but every time the person would check the truck, the officer would check the truck, he wouldn't find anything. I mean, he would check every nook and cranny, every crevice he could find. Couldn't find anything, so he would have to, you know, let the guy through. The next week, the same guy in the truck would be coming, and he would check, and he wouldn't find anything. Well, at the end of the patrol officer's career, he was retired, and he ran into this same gentleman again. And he said, now, look, I've been checking your trucks for years, and I haven't found anything. And he said, tell me, what were you really smuggling? Because I have a feeling I know you were smuggling something. What was it? And so he said to him, don't worry, I can't put you in jail for this because I'm retired. So, you know, whatever you tell me is fine. So he told him, he said, well, I'll tell you what I've been smuggling. It's been trucks. And so the whole time, he's here trying to look for something, but it's right in front of his face the whole time. And so we can see that there are things that can be right there in front of us, but we can't always detect it. They may indeed look, but not perceive. They may indeed listen, but not understand. And so today we ask for insight, for revelation, knowledge, and understanding. That those things that God is showing us, that we would perceive that which we need to perceive as we move forward in this journey. There is something in you or around you or connected to you that has to do with your forward advancement and your forward movement. So today we pray that you would recognize what that is, that the Spirit of God would enlighten our hearts and minds as to what that is. Because there's something good inside of you that needs to be manifested. So the first thing we have to do is discover our word seed. If, in fact, it is the truth of Jesus' story that in order to get the good out of yourself and out of this life experience and to manifest the life of God in the world, we've got to sow the word, then we've got to discover what this word seed is. What is this word seed? Well, if we look at the scripture, the answer is in the text. What is this word? The Greek word, therefore, word is logos, which means conception or idea or the word of God or Jesus Christ or those beliefs and chronic thought habits that form within yourself over and over and over again. All this is connected to the logos word, the word seed that is resident within you. It's the same logos word that created the universe. The same word seed, energy and power and matter and substance that created the cosmos is working in you. Well, even the scientists have agreed to that, to say that the same substance that exists in the cosmos is the same energetic and molecular makeup that composes our physical bodies. But it's not only a physical composition, it's a spiritual energetic composition as well, as we will see. Because in John 1:1, it says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hebrews 1:3 declares that the universe upholds all things. The universe is upheld. All things are upheld by the Word of power. So we see here that this word that theologically is interpreted as Jesus Christ, how symbolically it is also applied to your concepts, your ideas, your insights that God births within you. And so we're going to see here how we've got to discover what our own particular word seed is, because it's connected to how we're going to manifest the potential God has placed within us. I believe today that it's already working on your behalf, that Spirit is already enlightening you as to what your word seed is. Because you see here, you are here for one overarching purpose, and that is to express God's self in the earth throughout your successive stages of becoming. Whether you're newly arrived to this earth, space, time, environment, or you've been here for a long time, you are here to express the life of God in the earth in every stage. And there is something beautiful in every season that you find yourself in. Why? Because God is a God of love. God is a God of spirit. And you are spirit. And you are enfolded in that love. When you're enfolded in that love and you know that you are connected to God and you're a spirit being, this means that you're connected to the life of God manifesting in the earth. So we're called human beings. It's interesting. We're called human beings, but not human doings. We can be so preoccupied with what to do, what to do, what to do. But there's greater emphasis on who to be, because we do out of our state of being. We take actions out of our rooted states of being. That which we do comes out of that which we are. And what we are has to do with words, ideas, concepts, and beliefs that we hold about ourselves, others, and the world around us. So what I think about myself, what I say about others, has to do with my worldview, my concepts, my beliefs that I hold about myself, and it has to do with what I am demonstrating and manifesting in the world. The whole concept of be, do, have is what we see here, that you manifest from your state of being. You take actions from your state of being, and then you possess things based on your state of being. And so we see here that everyone has seeds. As we discover our word seed, it's important to note, everyone has seeds. Seeds equal divine potential. Can you say, I have divine potential? Yeah. I've got divine potential resident within me. No matter what I might feel like sometimes, there is something great working within me. We have divine potential. Everyone has gifts. Everyone has inner treasure to share with the world. You do have seeds. Whether you're gay, whether you're trans or straight, you have seeds. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're black, white, brown, red, all in between, you have seeds. That means there is something powerful inside of you. Scripture declares that God gives seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 declares that he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. In other words, that God gives seed to all. So not only do you have seeds, but you are a seed. And so you are here, yes, you, to contribute something beautiful to the world. You're here not only to produce great things, but you yourself are a seed. You're here to be great. There it is. And we say, I am great, not from an egotistical standpoint, but from a knowing of who we are in God and who God is in us and who we are in spirit. And so you are a seed. You are here to develop the beauties within you, and your presence on earth is intended to be a blessing and a light. The earth is a better place because you're here. And so what we've got to do during this message, even right now, whatever you're doing, get clarity on what your word seed is. Get clarity. What have you been intending? Settle down with something specific as you hear this message that you and God have been working together to demonstrate. Clarify the end result you're after. Narrow it down. Get specific. And form a mental picture of the specific state of the ideal already fulfilled. Maybe you're passionate about being a peacemaker and being a bridge through which reconciliation can happen among differing people groups. If that's your passion, get that seed going and discover that that's a part of your work in the earth. Whatever it is, get that in your mind. Get clarity right now. This is what we do when we plant an idea. It's called idea incubation. Now, when it comes to these matters of discovering your word seed, we don't just want a good idea. That's fine, but we also want a God idea. And so as you're considering your passions, your interests, your pursuits, things that anger you or incite great desire to change are clues to your purpose. Because in every stage of life, there is an associated idea for your forward advancement. Maybe there's a lie that the enemy might have suggested in your mind which states that it's too late for you. Your time is past. Well, that's never the truth, because remember, you're a spirit being, and in every season that you find yourself in, there is divine potential within you. There is a quote that Benjamin Franklin was known for. He was known for a whole lot of them through his publishing of his, you know, almanacs and things like that. But he said, tall oaks from little acorns grow. Tall oaks from little acorns grow. And so oftentimes we'll perceive a little acorn at the time and say, oh, what's that? But remember that something great comes out of it. The idea that we are the little acorns with the tall oak potential embedded within us is astounding. We must be planted in ground and climates that release our potential, as well as doing the work of planting the seeds of our ideas and gifts into the world so that a harvest of wholeness and beauty may result. So as we wrap our hearts and minds of discovering what that word seed is, we realize that those deeply embedded concepts, beliefs, perceptions of the world and others are seeds that we are forming. So we've got to form these seeds with the wisdom of God at work, knowing who we are in God and realizing I've got to then train myself along new lines if I want different seed. Yes? So as we sow our seed, we understand that Jesus turns our attention and says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The sower sows the word. When it comes to sowing the word, you sow in dual realms. There's dual sowing going on. There's inner sowing and there's outer sowing. There is the sowing of spirit, and then there's the sowing in the natural. And so we see that inner sowing has to do with meditation, prayer, visualization, getting those things in our hearts and minds that we would like to produce, and circumventing or pushing out the other seeds that are in there that we don't want to produce. For instance, maybe you grew up in a home where the words that were spoken over you were, you're not enough, you're ugly, you're this, you're that, you are not able to do, etc. All negative statements. And so what we've got to do is we've got to deposit the other within our heart, deposit the other within our mind, and not just one time, but regularly and systematically. Say over and over to yourself who you are. I am enough. I am beautiful. I am wonderfully made. And we realize the more we say these things, the more we deposit it within ourselves, we're depositing it in the subconscious mind. And how do you do that? By repetition. By repetition. How do we learn to be so mean sometimes? By repetition. How do we learn the things that we learn? We learn our prejudices by repetition. It's an interesting thing that I noticed even with my son. And my mom was telling me a story, because my mom is a teacher. And, you know, she was describing an individual to my son. And so in describing the individual, she happened to mention the person's skin hue. And my son didn't know what she was talking about. And so he literally had to be taught the difference. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. Like, we learn these things by repetition. What if we actually learn something positive by repetition? And so I see here that sowing the word, how do you sow the word? You meditate on it and you act on it. It's a dual sowing. This inner sowing is meditation, prayer, visualization. The outer sowing is you act, you plan, you organize. So we're talking about simultaneous sowing in the spirit, incubating an idea, meditating on the word, and sowing in the natural, doing the work of planting our God ideas into the world. So when we talk about this meditate and act, for the sake of redundancy, so that it settles down in our hearts and minds, you meditate on it by feeling the reality of it and staying in the state of consciousness of enjoying it long enough for it to seep down into your subconscious mind. Then we act on it by putting one foot in front of the other and beginning to take the necessary steps toward accomplishment, all the while making sure that our energy is out ahead of us, clearing the pathway and enjoying the reality of it as a present possession before anything's manifested. In essence, the sowing that we do within prepares the way for what we do externally. If we take external action steps before we have done our inner work, then our path is unsure, and we slip and we fall. And when we do the inner work before the outer work, no matter what happens on the outside, you know that the external is not the final say, because what's working in you is greater than what's outside of you. You see, nothing external to you has power over who you truly are. But sometimes we forget that. And that's why we come here, to remind ourselves who we are. We are word seeds. We are spirit beings. And we have these things working in us so that we might manifest our divine potential. As I look back in some of this unknown history, I look at a guy named Ottawa Gurley, who was an African-American entrepreneur and businessman. In 1893, he was 25 years old. He was embarking upon acquiring of land in the state of Oklahoma. The government had done is the government had purchased a huge mass of land and told everyone in the country that on this specific date, you can, you know, go to this territory and acquire this land. All you have to do is be the first person there. So people were lined up for a year in advance so that they might take possession of this land. So anyway, Ottawa and so many others come to this place in Oklahoma because he's got a vision for creating an economic community of people that were entirely composed of African Americans. And the reason for this was because the opportunity did not exist elsewhere. And so he felt that would be a sustainable approach. Anyway, it was a word seed that was working inside of him. So what did he do? In the beginning, things didn't work. Well, anyway, years and years later, what he planted ends up becoming what has been known as Black Wall Street. That was a space in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that had extremely well-off people, and this was years ago. Of course, its end and its ruin, it was ruined by a mob outside of their community that came in and destroyed it for various reasons. But the point is, it was a seed that was planted, and that seed grew up. It was meditated upon, it was acted upon, and it was manifested. And even after the destruction of the town, those people spread across, and we've got lots of us mixed in all different ways. We don't realize how we're all connected to those seeds. But the point is that whatever God puts in your heart to do, do it no matter what, because there's going to be challenges, there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be setbacks. But when you know that that's a part of the process, you can persevere. When you know that challenges are a part of the process, then you can persevere in your sowing. Once you know the end of a thing, you can persevere through anything because you know who you are and you know what God has placed within you. I'm here today to encourage what's working inside of you. I'm here today to enlighten what's working in you that you might know, wait a minute, there's something in me. There's something working in me. And it's not based on the external. It's based upon what's working on the inside. It's based upon the divine potential of God at work. So we see here that a sower goes out to sow, doing what he or she knows to do. Just do what you've been given to do. Work your gift. Plant your seed. Make your contribution. Meditate on the good. Visualize your objective and consistently plant. Proverbs 12 and 24 tells us, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the lazy will be put to forced labor. Proverbs 10 and 4 declares, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 21 and 5 declares, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to want. See, in our sowing, in your sowing, we have to have a long-term view in mind. In other words, it might not look any different right now, but by God, something's going to change because external things change all the time. And so it might as well as change in your favor. Things might as well change in your favor. Amen? Amen. And so as we sow our seeds, our word seeds, we've got to not only sow them, but we've got to incubate them. When it comes to incubating our word seeds, we realize that that involves protecting it and allowing it to grow. We see four stages of sowing in this text: the path, the rocks, thorns, and good soil. And oftentimes, seed planting of ideas and concepts pass through those stages before you get to the good soil. Oftentimes, we have to encounter the path. Well, what is this path? The path. These are the ones on the path where this word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. In other words, things contrary to your well-being come in and try to steal what was your word seed. What is your word seed? And so this path, this wayside, this is the place where people walk and travel. It's the world mind of congestion and fear and doubt. I don't know about you, but sometimes I experience fears when it takes when it comes to me planting ideas that God gives, whether it's a book or a concert or a record album or family events, whatever it is, fear can come in and stop us from doing what we know to do, from doing what we've been called to do. But when you know that's a part of the process, then you can keep going. The path is the place where your idea is trampled upon and it seems like it's not worth it. You try as you may, it seems like life is just stepping on you and you can't seem to get ahead. How many of you know about the path? The path is where naysayers and antagonists confront you. The scripture says the birds came and ate it up. Those are birds eating up your seeds. But when you know that's a part of the process, you can go on. Somebody say, I can go on. I can go on. And we look at the next text, Mark 4, 16, 17. Now we're talking about the rocks and the stony ground. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. When trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Look, trouble and persecution oftentimes comes when you're trying to get something off the ground, or you're trying to simply do what you believe you're called to do. I mean, it could be something as simple as, well, this is really, it's not simple. I was going to say something as simple as being a teacher, but I know that's really not that simple because my mom is a teacher, and I've heard stories all my life about how it's not an easy thing to do at all. And just the way teachers give of themselves, their time and their energy, using their own resources on behalf of their kids, etc. You know, sometimes being disciplinarians, etc., but not being able to really shepherd the way they'd like, it can be really, really strenuous. But for example, that individual must understand that when trouble or persecution arises, you don't have to fall away. You just know that that's a part of the process, and you can keep going no matter what you're called to do. Just keep going. Amen? Keep going. Keep going. Thorns. There's something else that happens that you encounter. And these others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. See, what we have to do is when we experience thorns, we must persevere through the challenging stages of sowing in order to reach our harvest. There's a harvest that God has for you with your name on it that we've got to persevere through the challenges for to get to. In fact, if you knew that there was a harvest for you right around the corner, if you took a few more steps, would you throw in the towel? No, you keep going. And so God wants us to know that there is something great embedded within us that we must persevere through the challenging stages in order to reap the harvest that God has for us. Amen. There's going to be schemes to kill your word seeds, whether it's fear or persecution or offense or cares or deceit or desiring other things. These are all the schemes that try to come in and take from us what God says is ours. Our job, protect it and nurture it. We have to water it, let it grow, be consistent, be faithful, because the truth of the matter is that no matter how long it takes, what God has put within you has a space for its demonstration. Time is no hindrance when it comes to the efficacy of God's word and the assurance of God's promise in your life. Time is no hindrance when it comes to you manifesting what God has placed within you. There's something beautiful. There's something amazing that you're intended to bring forth. And time can sometimes get us off. And, you know, we think, oh, gosh, because all this time has passed, maybe it's not meant for me anymore. No, it's meant for you. God put it within you. And just like a seed carries within it the invisible instructions to produce and to grow after its kind, no matter how long it's not in the soil, same goes for you. There's divine purpose in you, and when you're planted in the right space, in the right climate, things begin to happen. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, there is something great within you that you're intended to bring forth. Again, when you know the end of a thing, you can persevere through anything. Do you really know who you are? Do you have a picture of your future, of how it ultimately turns out for you? Well, the scripture provides some of that too. Jeremiah 29:11 declares, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not to harm you, to give you a future with hope." God says, "I know the plans I have for you." And those plans are manifested as we become good soil. Mark 4:20 declares, "And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold." When it comes to you hearing the word, not only are you hearing the word of Scripture, you are also hearing the words that Spirit speaks to your heart, showing you what you're called to do or to be or to have or to demonstrate. You're listening to that voice of Spirit. And sometimes, you know, you might think, oh, well, maybe that was over the Thanksgiving holiday. I ate too much and I'm thinking about that because that's just the turkey talking to me. No, a lot of times that's Spirit giving us inspiration and insight on what we're called to do. That we are called to do something that actually causes us to feel deeply about a particular matter. It's an insight to what God has called us to do. We must not give up our path of being called to do these things. As we are becoming good soil, we've got to do something. We've got to trust the process, and we've got to let it grow. In trusting the process, that's how we let go of it. After you've done your part, after you sow, you let go and you let it grow. See, you can't see what's happening beneath the soil when you plant something. If we're always going out there, digging it up, trying to check on it to see if it's growing to our liking or to the speed that we prefer, we'll stunt our growth and we might kill it. Also, if we try to go and stare at a blade of grass and try to micromanage its growth, we won't see anything. It's when we step away and we return to that place that you can notice the growth. It's just a simple thing to say, don't micromanage your growth either. Just allow yourself to be, allow yourself to grow. As you sow, you grow. And you might not always receive harvest off of every seed, but we know that that's the part of the path, the rocks, the thorns. But we're getting to the good soil. Once we plant our seed, we put the proper systems in place and nurture it, and then we go about our business. And the universe and God takes care of this part, manifesting our word seed. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. We are here to bear fruit. We are here to increase. We are here to bring forth. The goal is you bearing your fruit of divine potential into manifestation, that the potential of your seed does not remain hidden and concealed, but it's manifested for all to see and enjoy, which provides life-giving sustenance. You, ladies and gentlemen, are not going to die with your treasure still buried in you. That you might live your life and that you might manifest the latent qualities of God within you, that is my prayer. And whenever you encounter challenges and obstacles, may you remind yourself it's just a part of the process. It's not my end story. My present dilemma is not my end story. My present situation is not my end story. It's all a part of the process of manifesting through successive stages what God has placed within you. And so I'm just going to encourage you today to live in your promised land of your ideal, whether that's good health or happiness or love or success or living in your promised land of love and perfect self-expression, whatever that is, incubate that idea within yourself. Sow it within yourself. Protect it. Grow it and know when you experience fear or challenges or setbacks or obstacles. It's just a part of the process. Encourage yourself along the way. Sometimes all you have is yourself to encourage yourself. And when you decide, yes, I'm going to encourage myself in God, then things begin to shift in your favor. Whatever good thing you have discovered that resonates with your soul growth, something that you're divinely intended to manifest, something you're called to bring forth on the earth, sow the word for it and keep sowing. Sow the word of healing and divine health and keep sowing and persevere. Sow the word of prosperity and keep sowing and persevere. Sow the word of social equity and equality for all of Earth's humans and keep sowing and persevere. Matthew 7:7 declares and amplified, ask and keep on asking and you shall receive. Seek and keep on seeking and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door shall be opened. Well, look at God. God knew something about this. God's the master sower. God sowed Jesus Christ into the earth so that God might receive the harvest of reconciling all humanity to God's self. God knows this order of sowing and reaping and sowing within before you sow without. And I just want to encourage you today that as you put your feet to your path, as you put your hand to the plow, that you might know that things are working out in your favor, and no matter if you experience any challenge or setback, it's not the end of your story, because once you know the end of a thing, you can persevere through anything, and time is not a hindrance when it comes to you receiving from God. Time is not a hindrance when it comes to knowing the efficacy of God's word, the assurance of God's promise. You are in God. God is in you. Things are working in your favor. Just keep going. Don't throw in the towel. Greater is God within you than anything you could ever face on the outside. There is no challenge or circumstance that can come across your path that's greater than the Spirit at work within you. And remember, when there's nobody next to you to encourage you, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. And it's that divine encouragement that begins to work in your favor. And things begin to shift. Because remember, external states shift. They don't always stay the same. Things change. And when we know that the external can shift, but the internal anchor of Spirit, the internal anchor of God can keep us and hold us through the tumultuous experiences of life, we can keep going. There's nothing you can face that can hold you back when you know who you are in God and who God is in you. I just came to encourage you today to keep going, keep sowing, to keep growing, and don't micromanage your growth. Just allow God to work through you. You do your part, watch God do God's part, and don't throw in the towel and keep going. Can you just stand right where you are, and we're just going to affirm some things together. We're going to make some I am statements, because I am is a powerful word. It aligns us with the life of God. And so let's affirm this together. If you're comfortable, say with me, I am enough.
I am enough.
I am filled with the light of God.
I am filled with the light of God.
And I now perceive my seeds.
I see the word seed at work in me.
And things are working in my favor right now. No matter my challenges or obstacles, the divine potential within me is working its way out. And even beyond my lifetime, the word seeds that work within me now shall produce. Thank you for giving me seeds. Thank you for showing me my divine potential. Now manifest your life through me. Let it be for your glory. Help me to endure the challenging stages that I might manifest divine potential. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together and just celebrate that word working on our behalf today. It's going to work on our behalf. And so today, as we proceed in the service, let's keep that in mind. You may be seated right where you are.